The scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Now let us listen attentively to his holy word. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by the word or by letter, as though from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellious come first, and the lawlessness ones is revealed, and the one desired for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to the God for you, brothers and sisters beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and through behalf in the truth. For this purpose he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Hold fast to the truth and to the traditions that you have taught by us, either by word or by mouth or by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word.
Now we'll have our gospel lesson, and our gospel lesson today comes from the book of St. Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Hear these words. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married, and in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? And Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for him all are alive. And some of the teachers of the law responded, well said, teacher. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Questions. As a
professional counselor, as a pastor, one of the things I'm constantly doing is asking people questions. And it's something we do on a normal basis. We ask questions. And sometimes there's two types of questions we can ask. Those questions, what we call closed-ended questions that require a yes or a no, or sometimes those open-ended questions that require us to explain something. And when we're asking questions or when we're asked questions, sometimes we're being seated to see exactly what our response is going to be. Sometimes we may even be being set up with questions that we are asked. You know, going on vacation to Florida a couple of weeks ago, we hadn't been to the beach in over 7 years. And that's a very interesting thing because we had both packed separately, Lisa and I. And she came out of the room and I came out of the bathroom in our beach attire. And her question to me was, does this look too tight? And I knew that I needed to respond with something, but not something, a yes or a no. And I just casually looked at her, and as I had my flowered Floridian shirt on and my flowered, very live green bathing suit, I said, does this make me look stupid? Sometimes getting the right answer for the question is very important. And yet sometimes there are questions that are asked out there that can make us kind of stump us. Or, like I said, people trying to get a reaction out of us or to get some information out of us. Well, today we get a question that's asked to Jesus. Now, let me set the scripture up for you today. Jesus has gone to Jerusalem for the Last Supper, and it's earlier in that week. And before the scripture passage today, the scribes and the Pharisees of the day and the Sadducees, they were always out to get Jesus. And if there's a good way to get someone is to ask them a question that they're forced to answer. And not only to ask them a question, but ask them in front of people. And before today's scripture occurred, the Pharisees asked Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar and the Romans, and asked Jesus about, you know, what should we do? And we know that Jesus says, look at the coin, and it's, what does Caesar give to Caesar? What does God give to God? So the Sadducees now know that Jesus answered this, and so they think they're going to one-up the Pharisees. So they go to Jesus, and they have this story concocted. And the story says, you know, Master, they say, if a man and a woman marry, and that man dies and leaves no heir, his next brother married the woman, as the law said in the book of Deuteronomy. And we're told this happened 7 times. Great story that they're making this up. And then we're told at the end of the 7 times that the woman dies. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees look at him and say, now, Master, whose wife will she be at the resurrection? We need to back up here a little bit. Whose wife will she be at the resurrection? Well, first of all, the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in a spiritual life. They didn't believe in angels. And so they come to Jesus with this question, and they take it right from the first 5 books of the Old Testament, what we would call the Torah. That's all they believed. If it wasn't in those 5 books of the Torah, then it wasn't. That's how some people, you know, when we have constitutional issues and things change and things like that, if it wasn't in the original Constitution, then maybe we shouldn't, it's not right. And as we know, life changes and things, but I want to read to you the law that they were talking about. Listen, this comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25. If brothers dwell together, and one of them dies and has no son, The wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother. That is, name may not be blotted out of Israel. And if a man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me." Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak to him. And if he persists, saying, "I do not wish to take her," then his brother's wife shall go up to him in the presence of the elders and pull off his sandals off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, "So shall it be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house." And the name of his house shall be called in Israel, the house of him who has had his sandal pulled off. That's the law that they were referencing. Interestingly enough, at the time of Jesus, that law wasn't even in use. As a matter of fact, when the law first came about, it was not universally used. And so here are these Sadducees now, and they come to Jesus with this question about marriage. And the real question that they're asking is he going to talk about the resurrection? Is he going to talk about the reality of life after this world? And so they use this from the Torah. And notice what Jesus does when he gets set with a difficult question. Well, first thing he does is he responds to them. And he responds to them at their level. And he responds to them, if you read the scripture very carefully, from the Torah. And he talks about the story of Moses in the burning bush, and when Moses was on the mountain with his father-in-law Jethro and was called away in the burning bush, and where God said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." He goes right to that same reference that those Sadducees have and says that God, "I am," not "I was," that God is a God of the present, that God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living, from those of us who come forward in his name. You know, what this does to the Sadducees at that point, it not only tells them that they really don't know about the power of God, but do they really know their scriptures as well as they thought? So Jesus at first addressed their question on their level. Now, does he address the question about marriage? Does he address that question about the resurrection? And the answer is he does. And he talks to them about the resurrection, and when we are resurrected from this earth, we become like angels. And he says some things about marriage that might kind of make us a little uncomfortable. He said that there's no reason to be given in marriage in heaven. And he answers that question for the Sadducees. But really what he's saying is that, you know, what we have on this earth is very physical. And when you think about the physical aspects of marriage, and you think about sometimes the purpose of marriage, procreation, and to propagate the human race, Jesus is not saying that when we get to heaven, we're not going to know our spouses. Jesus is not saying that when we get to heaven, that we're not going to have a relationship with our loved ones. He's not saying that at all. But what he's saying is that spiritual realm of the resurrection is going to be so different than it is now. And I find that so self-assuring, because when we think about all the physicalness of what we go through on this earth, and that's not only the good, but the bad. And to think about that when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. How different our bodies may be, or our spirits are, and what family is going to be like. And it's just amazing. But Jesus puts this forth, this proof of the resurrection, and then answers their question. And I think the Sadducees of the day, what they were hoping he was going to do was to unleash a really good controversy. Do you ever know a person like that who just loves to stir things up? No? Nobody knows? Wow. All right. Yeah, I think we all can kind of get that. And so as he speaks and talks about God being a God of the present, the I Am, and when he speaks about, you know, beyond this world, that we will become like angels, and that when we are in heaven, how it's going to be so different than it is now, he's expecting everybody to kind of cower, the Sadducees are, over this, instead of understand the enormity and the beautifulness of knowing that when we're done on this earth, that there's a place for us in heaven where we're going to be surrounded by all of our loved ones, and we can't even imagine what that really is like. I mean, that's beyond us. And so then in closing, as he speaks to the Sadducees, after he does and he answers those questions, he looks them straight in the eye and he talks about the resurrection from the dead and from this life and from the world to come. And it's interesting in the scriptures, the Sadducees, like the Pharisees, didn't do what they intended to do. They intended to discredit him. They intended to disgrace him. They intended to make him a person who was unfounded in the interpretation of scripture. But they didn't do that. And then did you notice the last sentence in that scripture? It says, then the leaders looked at him and said, well done. Well done. And they were astonished. And guess what? It wasn't the Sadducees who asked that question who were saying, well done. It was the Pharisees again. We one-upped you. You thought we didn't win. You didn't win. What an interesting situation. And so we come back now to questions that we have about our faith, questions that we have maybe about the church, questions that we have maybe in our own spiritual lives. And you know, I believe that God wants us to do what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus always responded well. He always spoke well. And then he acted well. And so those three things, I think, are so important to us when we're put in a situation or when we ask questions or when we've been asked questions about God and about our faith. You know, I think one of the most founded things that we can say about our faith and about our future life is that we have experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every year when we celebrate Easter, we hear those stories. Do you remember that story of Mary and the women at the tomb as they walked away? They were walking and they saw Jesus. How many of us also in our lives have had that spiritual resurrection? You know, I love that old gospel hymn, He Lives. And it says, you ask me how I know He lives. Anyone have the next words? He lives. Yeah. Has your heart ever, ever been resurrected by Jesus Christ? Have you ever had that feeling of being uplifted and being supported and being loved and being cared for? My friends, we need to make sure that as we are members of the body of Christ, that number one, that we give glory and honor to Jesus in everything we do. And as Christian witnesses, we too need to be prepared for difficult questions. And those questions, the only way we can be prepared is by studying the scriptures, by studying them collectively together, and by sharing our stories and our testimonies, so that we too might be that master communicator, that we too may be those people whom others see and say, well done, that was well said, because we are the ones who are the children of the resurrection. And we're the ones who get to share the good news with people. There's always going to be people out there like the Sadducees and the Pharisees There's always going to be issues out there. People are going to bring things up, especially in our faith, that are going to try to shake us, that are going to try to jolt us. But if we truly know the Word of God, and if we truly know that God's heart for our life and our life, we're going to be successful. And so I ask you to remember those three things today is, when asked those questions, react well, speak well, and then after that, show that what you have heard and share it with one another. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for this challenging scripture today. We thank you for the way that you show us how to respond to questions about our faith and our life. Lord, you're not a God of anxiety or panic and fear. You're a God who can take all those things from us. God, may we know that when we go to heaven, Lord, that we will see all those who we have loved and cared for. And Father, we thank you that world is going to be so different than this physical world, sometimes with its toils and sometimes with its cares. And God, we thank you once again for the opportunity to come together as a fellowship and to wrestle with your word. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.